In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. Be urgent in proclaiming the Word of God, in season and out of season, when you feel it and when you don't. You got to proclaim the Word of God so that people would hear and give their lives to Jesus. Oh, yes. I'm grateful for the name of this broadcast. I told you how it came about. I knew it had to do with something with Andrew, because Andrew brought people to Jesus, brought the Greeks to Jesus, brought the little boy with his lunch to Jesus, brought Simon Peter to Jesus. But it didn't fit. It wasn't the Andrew hour. It didn't fit. But once I gave a homily at St. Joseph's in Quincy, and it was the homily from 2 Timothy 4, preach the word in season and out of season. And one of the people there came up to me when we bought our tape recorder, said, "Why don't you call it In Season and Out of Season?" And I said, "You're Andrew." And his name is Andrew. That's how we got the name In Season and Out of Season. I'm reading from Mark 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. Oh yes, I tell you, the children are everywhere in the Holy Land. They're everywhere. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Oh, Jesus had a very great love for the little children. You know, I want to say I'm still one of the little children. I'm little children, yes. You too are the little children that he wants to touch and bless. But you've got to give him permission. I want to be touched. I want to be blessed. I give you permission. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will not enter it. And he took them up in his arms, and in his hands he placed upon them and blessed them. Oh yes, what a wonderful gift Jesus did that day. He took the children in his arms and he touched them and he blessed them. Oh yes, how we need to be touched and blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to be touched and blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was setting out on a journey, verse 17, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" Remember, Jesus emptied himself, becoming a slave, and he didn't count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped at. "No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear witness, false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The young man said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Listen to what happens in verse 21. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." I tell you, Jesus looked at that young man and loved him. But you know what? He turned away because he had many possessions. I wonder if he ever came back, because once Jesus looks at you and loves you, you know that everything else is vinegar. He is the olive oil of love. He is the olive oil of peace. Oh, yes. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. We remember Zacchaeus. He wasn't asked to give it all. He said, I give half of what I earn to the poor. See, Zacchaeus' treasure was not with his money. The young man that Jesus looked at and loved, his treasure was in his possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, for men it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. Oh, yes. Even the rich entered the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Our riches could be in a little silver pen, and we don't want to get rid of it. I remember having a signet ring that I had, and I gave it to a young girl who was going to be a nun because I loved that signet ring, and I did not want that ring to keep me from Jesus. Oh, yes. Anything that we have which would keep us from Jesus needs to be given up. Peter began to say to him, look, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times now in this age houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields with persecutions. Oh, we don't want to hear that. We want to receive many fields, many houses. We don't want to hear that we will be persecuted for the sake of Jesus. Are you persecuted for the sake of Jesus? Well, you know what? I am. And it's a silent persecution. I don't want to talk about that today, but it's real. I am persecuted for the sake of Jesus. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first now will be last, the Jews. And the last will be first, the Gentiles. The third time Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem. You know what they're going to do in Jerusalem? He's going to die. And Jesus was walking ahead of them like the shepherd. And they were amazed, and those who followed him were afraid. He took the 12 aside and again began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests, the scribes. They will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Hallelujah. It might be Friday for you in your life, but Sunday is coming. It might be Good Friday for you in your life, but Sunday is coming. Our Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. You might be experiencing Good Friday today, but Sunday is coming. Oh, yes, Sunday is coming. Easter Sunday for you. Oh, it doesn't have to be in April. It can be at any time. How we need that the Lord would reveal himself to us. How we need that. I continue. chapter 11, verse 27. Again they came to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple. The chief priests and scribes and the elders came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Oh, you see, they want to catch Jesus. "Who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and if you tell me by what authority I do these things, did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' Because he proclaimed Jesus, the Lamb of God. But shall we say, of human origin?" They were afraid of the crowds, for they regarded John as a prophet. So they answered, "Jesus, we do not know." Oh, they knew, but they were not going to say. Oh, I don't think Christians play it safe. You know, play it safe. Both sides of the aisle, we want to play it safe. No. We want to come out and say what we believe and believe what we say. That's very, very important. Not to care about what people think, because people are going to think anyway. "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Chapter 12. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, and you know what happens in a vineyard, grapes. Put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower, and he leased it to tenants, and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, sent him away empty-handed. Oh, yes, they beat him, sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and they killed that other one. And so it was with the others. Some they beat, others they killed. He had still one other, his beloved son, that's Jesus. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." I tell you, how sad that was for people to want to kill Jesus. How sad. And yet it was the fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah 52 and 53, as I read the other day. So they seized him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Who are the others he gives the vineyard to? To the Gentiles. Have you not read this in Scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's own doing. Oh, yes, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many that received him, he gave the power to become children of God. When they realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest Jesus, but they feared the crowd. So they left him and went away. What do you say about Jesus today? Not me, but you. What do you say about Jesus today? I remember teaching in a sixth grade class, and I was teaching the Bible. I said, the greatest question that you will be asked is, who do you say that Jesus is? That is the greatest question. Is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Who is Jesus to you? Is he a philosopher? Oh, he's much more than a philosopher. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one that died for us so that we might have everlasting life. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Oh, they're trying to trick him again. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? Should we pay them or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it. And they brought a denarius to Jesus. Then he said to them, Whose head is this and whose title? They answered, The emperor's head. Jesus said to them, Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. I tell you, what belongs to God? Everything I have, all that I am, belongs to God. I surrender my life to you, O Jesus Christ. I surrender my whole being to you, O body. I give you permission over the day today. O Lord, we love you today. And they were utterly amazed at him. Why were they amazed at him? Because they thought he was going to say, you don't pay taxes to the emperor, because the emperor was deceitful. Give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to God what belongs to God, and everything belongs to God. 12:18. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They came to him and asked him a question. They're going to test Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. There are seven brothers. The first married, and when he died, left no children. The second married her, died, leaving no children. Likewise, the third, none of them of the seven left children. Last of all, the woman herself died. See, they're going to try to trick Jesus. In the resurrection, because they don't believe in the resurrection, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, Is not this the reason you are wrong? What you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. I tell you, the power of God is in the Spirit. The scriptures are in the Spirit. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the story about the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is the God not of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. Oh, yes, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, the Bible tells us those who bless Abraham and his children will be blessed. We bless Abraham and his children, and we praise you, God, for them, because you promised us a blessing if we bless them. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, Which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the Lord, and he's one. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, and with your whole strength. Do you love him with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole strength, your whole mind? How we need to ask for the grace to love him with all of our being. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, Oh, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one God, and beside him there is no other, and to love him with all your heart, and with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, this is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Oh, I wonder what he had to give up. I wonder what he had to do to be in the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom today? Or are you in the kingdom of thingdom? I want this and I want that. I want this and I want that. That's the kingdom of thingdom. The kingdom of God lets go of all that we have. Doesn't make it Lord. We use those things, but it's not Lord. After that, no one dared to ask him any question. No one dared to ask him any question. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, how can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David, when David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So how can you say it's his son? And the large crowd was listening to Jesus with delight. Oh, yes, they listened to Jesus with delight. Why? Because he has the words of eternal life. As a matter of fact, he is the Word made flesh. Those who believe in him will not see death, final death. Those who do not believe in him, well, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who do you believe in today? Are you believing in your bank account? Are you believing in your children? Who are you believing today? I believe in the one God and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, by the power of the Spirit, came to us. As he taught, he said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues, the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Oh, yes. I tell you, we who are the shepherds will be judged first, because God holds us responsible for preaching the gospel and for loving the sheep. Chapter 12, verse 41. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two copper coins, which was worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. I tell you, be generous to God. He will not be outdone in generosity. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit, July 14th to the 20th, at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Oh, yes. For more information, get online to www. You've got to put in the www. daysofglory.org. www.daysofglory.org. And we are still paying for our May bills. Please help us to pay for May. Already it's the July. We need your help. May God bless you today and fill you with His Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.